If you're struggling to manage projects effectively, relying on template, they don't teach you critical thinking. You might want to share a short story with your family. I was leading this project and I was super excited because this was a new endeavor. And there were some issues that were coming up that I actually was with the team that I got ahead of, and we escalated right away. We provided the solutions like, hey, this is what we've attempted, but we're going to need additional help. And the project ended up not having a success. Let's just be transparent. The project failed. And when the project failed, I was held accountable as the project manager. And I know I have an intelligent family out there. You're saying, you're not the only one that's part of the project. Why is that accountability on you? I mean, why are they saying it's your fault? You escalated, you did all the proper things potentially, and it still fell on you? Yes. As a project manager, you are the face of the actual project. What that basically means is that things don't go right or they go wrong, whether due to unforeseen risk, resource constraints, stakeholder misalignment, or watch this family, external factors outside of your control, you will often, and I do mean often, be held accountable. While this may seem unfair, the reality is leadership comes with accountability and responsibility, and stakeholders expect you to manage issues effectively regardless of the actual cause. This is important, family, because when you take responsibility, whether fair or not, you don't prepare for this reality, you start becoming frustrated. When you don't think anything about this reality, you become burnt out. And it will quickly set in. I'm not telling you something that I heard about or some I read in a book. I'm telling you something that I lived. I became frustrated. I started to what they call quiet quitting, or AKA burnt out, because I couldn't understand why I was blamed, and the scrutiny came with undermining me, as well as it started hacking my confidence as well as my credibility. And what this happens is making it harder to gain the trust of stakeholders on future projects, even though, again, I had no control over what went wrong. Here's my actionable tip. Accept the setbacks and criticisms as part of the role. Instead of personalizing blame, shift the focus to solutions and lessons learned. I always share with you, family, and there's a couple things that I say over and over again in each of the episodes. We focus on the solution, not the problem. Again, we focus on the solution, not the problem. So we'll glance at the solution. You say, I'm looking over here, and boom, we're right back at the, we glance at the problem, boom, then boom, we're right here looking at the actual solution. And then my other thing that you guys always hear me say, let's see if you can say it with me. Documentation beats what? Documentation beats what? Documentation always beats conversation. So document everything. Keep a record of decisions, approvals, risk assessment to protect yourself from unjust blame, even though you will get just blame, but you want to be able to be so transparent when anything arises. So at least at the end of the day, as they would say, you've done your very best to be able to move that project forward. Point number two, communicate, or I should say, neglecting to escalate when necessary. Again, neglecting to escalate when necessary. Many project managers hesitate to escalate issues, which I don't understand why. I get it. I mean, when you take the PMP, it always asks you, what should the project manager do? But see, what you fail to understand and realize is that the project manager should escalate because of the fact is important. But I understand how it's all about how you go about escalating. Because what ends up happening is there's a fear, and I had this fear, so I know, where you don't want to feel like you're incompetent. You want to feel like you got your hand on and you're basically handling everything, or more or less, you believe the problem will resolve itself. However, delay and escalation can cause minor challenges, which is like almost like a snowball effect. And then all of a sudden, your project risks now become issues. Escalation does not mean failure, family. It just means ensuring the right people are aware of the critical issues before they become unmanageable. This is important because project derailment really has something to do with unresolved issues. And if we don't escalate, we will miss the triple constraints, which is our cost, our schedule, our scope, as well as the quality. Here's my actionable tip. I would always, if I was a new project manager, and I even as a seasoned project manager, I would have me something like a note, I call it like a notification escalation list. Basically meaning who should be notified at each level? Who should be notified from department head, from executive leadership to stake? I would have a list of those people. Then right next to it, I would say, what is their preferred escalation method? Is it a email? Is it a meeting? Is it an executive brief? Because you want to make sure when it happens, you should be able to go and say, okay, this happened. Now I need to go ahead and escalate it. And also before you escalate, make sure you communicate it with you already done. What were the solutions that you made an attempt to implement and they didn't work? And so instead of trying to hold on and thinking it's going to work, you took the path to escalate. Because escalating is not something that makes you look incompetent. I don't know where that came from. It really makes you look strong. Where you become incompetent is where you just escalate, and you haven't done the proper due diligence to make sure that you've done everything that you could possibly do to a certain point. Now, there's a certain point, and over time, you'll learn what that certain point, because it varies from project to project. Let me give you an example. Let's say you have a resource constraint, and you reached out to some of the department heads, and they said, hey, we can't give up any other resources because of the fact of that they're working on other things. Well, I need to escalate because this is a priority project and I'm going to escalate. I would like to let you know. And when I escalate, I would let the department head or the executive know, hey, I was advised that they are working on some priority things as well. And I understand this project is a priority. Is there any way that we can get additional funds for some more resources, or can we borrow some more resources that have the technical competency to assist us in the journey? This is a good example of basically escalating, and this is bad. So we first talked about the ugly, then we talked about the bad. Let's talk about the good. Build strong relationships with key players. I always say that project management is the human side of things. What do I mean by that? Effective project managers don't just manage tasks. They lead and inspire people. You build strong relationships with executives, your sponsors, your project team members, and your stakeholders. This enhances collaboration and breaks down these silo walls that are prevalent in some organizations where everybody is only concerned about their work versus, hey, if we take a collaborative approach because this project is going to have an impact to somebody on this team, if not all of us, how can we work together and problem solve? This is important because without stakeholder or project team buy-in, even the most well thought out plan and the most well executed plan can face resistance or, better yet, funding issues. Here's my actionable tip. Schedule regular one-on-one meetings with key stakeholders as well as project team members and align on expectations. See, a lot of frustration comes from a lack of expectation. See, if I understood what your expectation is from the project, then you won't get frustrated with me because we have an agreed understanding what the actual expectation is. We documented what that expectation looks like. So now if something comes up and you're like, wow, I was expecting such and such. Wait, I don't recall that. We've had meetings and I've documented it because we know documentation of these conversations. So are you sure that the expectation changed and the information wasn't communicated to me? So you want to make sure that you can reinforce that commitment to project success. Point number four, document everything. Do not rely on this thing up here we called a memory. This is a good thing. See, the motto here, documentation beats conversation. And I say it over and over again throughout different episodes because I want you to get so good at documenting things, especially if you're working in a fast project environment and you're relying on memory for key decisions or agreements or action items. This is a pure recipe for disaster, because you'll have somebody on the stakeholder team or in the project team that will say, well, I told you that last week. And if you don't have it properly documented, what are you going to say in court? You know what they say? They call that hearsay. Evidence is required. Why this is important? Because relying on your memory for key decision will really impact not just only you, but the trust that your team and your stakeholders have in you. Here's my actionable tip. Maintain a decision log to track all major project decisions, their rationale, and approval history. That is key. When someone makes a major decision, we want to make sure we are presenting this information during our meetings with the approval history. Hey, when did we approve this decision? Who approved this decision? Because we want to ensure that we're all in line. There's no misstep. There's no miscommunication. All it is forward collaboration. This ensures accountability as well as transparency. Point number 5, this is bad. And I see this more in a lot of new project managers. So this is why I want to ensure that I help you, because when they didn't tell me about this part. See, many project managers shy away from difficult conversation, whether it's addressing underperformance or confronting a stakeholder about scope creep, or even just resolving conflicts between the project team members. Family avoiding these particular discussions, they don't make the problem just poof, disappear. It usually makes it worse. See, minor issues when left unaddressed will escalate into major project risk, damaging team morale, eroding trust, as well as causing delays. Why is this important? There's two points here I want to outline. It prevents misunderstandings. See, when expectations, concerns, or conflicts are left unspoken for, assumptions take over, often leading to great tension. Then your strength of relationship. Addressing concerns professionally, I'll use that again. Addressing concerns professionally really shows leadership, builds credibility, and fosters trust among team members and stakeholders. I learned about this new recent model. It's a feedback model. It's called SBI. Again, SBI. Situational Behavior and Impact. So this is how it looks. Situation is more or less, you describe a specific event or context. For example, in yesterday's team meeting, the behavior, explain what the person did. You interrupted other team members several times. Impact. Describe the result of their behavior. This made it difficult for others to share their input, leading to frustration in the team. Again, SBI, a situation, behavior, impact. I just recently learned about that, and I thought, hey, I should download this to the family. My next actionable tip, stay solution focused. Instead of blaming, focus on how to move forward constructively. And the last and final one, have the conversation early. The longer you wait, the harder, the more challenging it's going to be. So address issues before they actually escalate. Point number 6, this is ugly. Mm-hmm. You can't please everyone. And I'm going to recommend it. You shouldn't try. See, as a project manager, you will face conflicting priorities, competing stakeholder demands, team members with different opinions on how things should be. While naturally, you want to keep everyone. Trying to accommodate everyone's requests will lead to concrete delays, decision paralysis. The goal isn't about satisfying every individual. It's delivering the project successful while maintaining stakeholder trust and team efficiency. Why is this important? It prevents from scope creep from spiraling out of control. Constantly saying yes to every stakeholder request without assessing its impact can derail your project's timeline, the scope, as well as the budget. And then, of course, the quality. Reduce your team burnout. Saying yes to unrealistic requests often results in overworked teams, and this leads to frustration. And then you have a decrease in morale. Here's my actionable tip, family. Prioritize project goals over personal preference. Use objective criteria such as project scopes, business value, urgencies when evaluating requests. Stay firm when necessary. If a request does not align with the project objectives, politely, professionally, and be assertive, decline or negotiate alternatives. All right, family, let's move on to point number 7. Prioritize and sync with work efficient. Not all tasks carry the same weight. Understanding dependencies and prioritizing high impact activities ensures smooth project execution. Why is this important? Poor prioritization leads to wasted effort, inefficiencies, and unnecessary project delays. Here's my actual tip. Use a WBS to decompose the project into manageable components and ensure logical sequence of tasks. Point number 8, adapting to business needs, or I should say, adapting to changing business needs. Flexibility is a key trait of successful project managers. Organizing and evolve. What I mean by that, family, is organizations grow, organizations evolve. So project must align with the new business objectives. This is why this is important. Rigid project managers who resist change may cause their projects to fail or miss critical opportunity. Here's my actionable tip. Implement change control processes to evaluate, document change impacts before making adjustments. This ensures control adaptation rather than chaotic shifts. My final thoughts for today, family, always ask you to take action, experiment with what we'll talk about today, see what works for you, what doesn't, get rid of it. Being an effective project manager requires a balance of strategic planning, leadership, and adaptability while navigating changes or challenges, I should say, with confidence. Here we go, the good. The good project manager masters communication and stakeholder management, as well as, let's just say, all the knowledge areas. Bad. Well, they fall into avoidable traps, meaning the traps of feeling like they have to not have those difficult conversations, the trap of not neglecting to escalate. So basically, instead of escalating, they hold off and escalating. And my last and final one is ugly. The reality is that you're going to have to be resilient. You're going to have diplomacy. And family, you're going to have to learn how to be assertive. Well, family, I hope you enjoyed today's episode. I go by the name of ED, and I am here sweating because this episode is so important for your career, even your personal life. And I always ask of you, if you don't do anything else, experiment with the information. Take action today and leverage the information. I will continue to work if you continue to listen. I go by the name of ED. For all you smart and intelligent folks out there, listen. That just simply means it. Until next time.